Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So good. Hey, it's so good to be with you. You know, God is doing amazing things. Like I said, I'm so blessed to, you know, be able to travel around and just see and hear of the good things that God is doing. And it's important to talk about the good things that God's doing. It's important to tell people our testimonies and talk about what God is doing and keep our awareness on what God is doing. You know, it's so important to renew our minds, to remember what God has done. And as we talk about what He has done, He confirms it and He says, hey, I want to do that again. He's going to do that again. So everybody here has got stories. All of us have got stories about what God has done in our lives. And we've got testimonies of God's faithfulness, His provision, His miracles, His mercy, how He's come through, the breakthroughs that we've seen in our families and in our lives. And it's so important to remember them. So that's actually what I want to speak to you about today. I believe God has got this message for you. I believe God has put a word in my heart for you this morning that's going to encourage you. It's going to take you from strength to strength because God is always interested in our growth. He's always interested in our discipleship. He's always interested in us moving from strength to strength, from glory to glory. He doesn't want us to stay in the same place. He wants to bring us into the fullness of His kingdom. You know, we talk about, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and one aspect of the Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." As it is in heaven. So the reality of heaven is that there's no sickness, there's no problems. There's the fullness of the kingdom of God that God wants to release on earth, in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your relationships, in your career, in everything you do. God wants to bring the kingdom of God into reality. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So why don't you turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Let's go to the Old Testament. Old Testament's good. You know, the Old Testament gave us the picture of Jesus, but that was hidden until Jesus came. You know, everything about God in the Old Testament was incomplete until Jesus came. But then when Jesus came, then we understood, hang on, this is what God is like. A lot of people, you know, thought, okay, God's like this. I was brought up thinking God's this way. He's a harsh taskmaster. You know, we got to be right and we got to be true, and God's out to, you know, get you in trouble if you do something wrong. That's what I was taught until I got born again and filled with the Spirit of God, and Jesus revealed the Father's heart to me. And I realized, hang on, God is actually good. He's actually better than you realize. Did you know that? God is actually better than you realize. And when you start coming into the fullness of who God is, who Jesus is, it changes everything. You know, the single most important thing that we need to understand is what we think about when we think about God. When you think about God, what do you think? The single most important thing when you pray, when you walk with the Lord, is how does God feel about me? What is God like? Well, God showed us what He's like in Jesus. Jesus, He's the perfect representation of God. If you want to know what God the Father is like, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. You know, when Jesus came, He didn't come to change God's mind about us. Wow. Jesus, you know, God wasn't actually in a bad mood in the Old Testament. He wasn't angry in the Old Testament. Jesus didn't come because he thought, okay, I've got to change God's mind about people. No, Jesus came to change our minds about God. Wow. That's why Jesus came. Because when you look at Jesus, you realize how good God is, how loving God is, how forgiving God is, how His whole heart and demeanor toward you and toward us and toward humanity is one of love. Not one of fear, but one of love. If you're struggling with fear this morning, if you're struggling with anxiety this morning, maybe you need a revelation of the love of God. When you come into the fullness of the revelation of the love of God, everything changes. Fear has to go because perfect love casts out all fear. That's amazing. So Deuteronomy, let's get back to Deuteronomy. That's not what I was going to talk about, but anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6-9. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And in verse 17 it says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he has commanded you." So he's saying here, you shall keep the commandments, the testimonies, and the statutes. So today, I want to talk to you about the power of testimony. The power of testimony. There is a power that God wants to release in yours and my life, and that is the power of testimony, the power of your testimony, the power of what God is doing, the power of what God has done and that he wants to do again. I want to talk to you about keeping the testimony, how to keep the testimony by remembering it, by declaring it, because there is power in the testimony. There is power in the testimony. So here in this verse, verse 17, God spoke to his people and he told them about keeping three things. He said, "You got to keep my commandments, my statutes, and my testimonies." So commandments, his moral laws. We all know the Ten Commandments. Don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, don't covet, don't commit adultery, etc., etc., etc. Those, there is commandments. He said, we've got to keep his commandments. Then his statutes. So God's statutes are the principles and the supreme values underlying his commandments and his regulations for our lives. We've got to keep his values. Lord, we want to understand, what are your principles? What are your ways? This is how we know the ways of God. We look to scripture. And then he says, we've got to keep the testimonies. This is really interesting because we talk about, yeah, we've got to keep the commandments. We know that. We've got to keep the ways of God. We know, understand that. But he's saying, hang on. God is saying you've got to keep the testimonies. Keep the testimonies. Remember the testimonies. The testimonies are the stories of God's miraculous provision, his healings, his signs, his wonders, how he forgave us, how he saved us, how he provided for us, he protected us, how he delivered us, how he led us, how he healed us from cancer. We're hearing this morning. We've got to remember these testimonies. We've got to keep these testimonies. Really, really important. So a testimony is the written. We have this here, written, or the spoken record of anything that God has done. And every part of that record becomes your family history the moment you're born again. So when you become born again, when you give your life to Jesus, now the testimonies in this scripture become your testimonies. That's like, hang on, what Jesus did, they're my testimonies. I can talk about them. I can receive them for myself. Isn't that awesome? David declared this in Psalm 119, verse 111. He said, "I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart." They're our inheritance. So every single story, every single miracle in the Bible, they've become mine. That's my miracle. I can receive that for me. I can receive that for my life. Isn't that awesome? Oh. Every story of every miracle or sign that God has ever performed is your story because you've become related to the God who made them to happen.
Yeah, wow, that's so good.
When you become born again, you're part of the family of God. We're brothers and sisters. We're all part of the family of God now. And so these stories, these miracles become our own. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." What does that mean? When you share a testimony, the testimony of Jesus prophesies what God is willing to do for someone else. So when you're sharing a testimony, that's prophesying. You're saying God's going to do that again. When you're sharing the testimony of someone getting healed from cancer, someone getting provision, someone getting a breakthrough, God moving in your life, God providing direction, that's a testimony that God wants to do for someone else. That's a seed that God wants to do that for someone else. Isn't that awesome? Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, sorry, verse 11, Revelation verse 12 and 11. I'm just going to go through a bunch of scriptures because scripture's good. Scripture's good. It says this, they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. You know, I've come to realize that the most fiercest attacks that the enemy has against us is lies. He speaks lies to us. You're nothing. You're nobody. He'll speak lies to your heart. He'll speak lies to your situation. God can't do that. God can't move here. You're not going to have to see a breakthrough. This is your lot in life. These are lies of the enemy. But the Bible here says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hang on, Jesus, you did that. You healed. You provided a breakthrough in, right here in Scripture for that person there, for this person there, for me in my, you know, 3 months ago, you provided a breakthrough. So you're going to do it again. 5 years ago, Lord, you did a breakthrough in my life. You're going to do it again. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remind myself of how you came through. So, so important. And when you share a testimony, like I said, it prophesies into the atmosphere. It prophesies into that person's life that God wants to do it again. He's willing to do that for them as well. Testimonies are so important because they are stories about God's nature. They're stories, they reveal his heart. When you hear a testimony of how God broke through, of how God healed a person, how God brought salvation, how 60 people got involved in Alpha and got filled with the Spirit, how people are getting saved, people are getting healed. That this is revealing God's heart. This is God's heart. It reveals what he values. His heart for humanity, for individuals. It reveals his love, his power, his forgiveness. It reveals that he is interested in every single detail of your life. Every single detail, not just the big stuff, but every single detail. They reveal his his interactions with people, his history. They reveal his forgiveness, his supernatural provision. Man, I'm telling you, God is so good. Let me share you. I'm going to share with you a bunch of testimonies that happened in my life. I remember a number of years ago when our kids were small. I've got three kids. They're, as I said, my oldest is 20. My other two are teenagers. Pray for me. I need a lot of prayer. No, seriously, they're amazing kids. They're all serving in the church, all love Jesus, involved in worship, which is amazing. But when they were small, I remember we always wanted to go to America. We wanted to do a family holiday and we always wanted to go to America, you know, as a family. And Ali and I had been to America before, but as a family, we wanted to, you know, we wanted to bless our kids and take them to Disneyland. And I remember praying, saying, oh God, how can we afford this? You know, I don't know how we can afford to take three kids plus us to America. It's pretty expensive. And so we were praying and asking God, and I thought, let's just book the tickets anyway somehow. And we didn't have enough money for accommodation or anything like that. We didn't know what we were going to do. So we bought and we paid for the tickets, and we were going to go in about, I think it was about 4 or 5 months time. We were praying and we were like trusting God. Someone came up to us in church. This is the truth. No word of a lie. Someone came up to us and said, hey, we just want to bless you. We hadn't told anybody about this, but someone came up to us and said, hey, we just want to bless you and your family and so you can go on a holiday, like go on a big holiday. We're going to give you $10,000. I'm like, what? Seriously? And so they gave us a $10,000 deposit in our bank. I'm like, God, miracle, provision. God just blessed us. I'm telling you, God wants to do that for some. Put your hand up if you want to receive that. Come on. You want to receive? I'll receive that. Come on. You know, it's so important that we remember and that we declare the good things of God. That when we remember and declare the works of God, we release a creative, prophetic anointing that changes and seeds the atmosphere. The declared testimony creates access for the very anointing that brought about the testimony in the first place. This is the reality of the kingdom. This is how the kingdom works. You know the word testimony? One of the root meanings of the word testimony in the Hebrew is to do again. Isn't that amazing? To do again. So every time you share your testimony, you share a testimony of what God has done in your life or in your heart or how you got saved or how he's broken through or a dream that you've had or a miracle that's happened in your life, in the sharing of that testimony is the seed for God to do it again. To do it again. Isn't that awesome? So important to share and remember and declare the testimony. It reveals an opportunity for that story to be duplicated. Man, we all, like I said, we all have testimonies. We've all got stories of what God has done in our lives. And here's the problem. We forget. We forget about it. You know, In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel, when God gave Moses instructions to build the ark of the covenant, and inside the ark there was meant to be three things: that was Aaron's rod, that was the Ten Commandments, and that was a bowl of manna. And so those three things they had to remember. So they were like memorials. You know, another word for the Ark of the Covenant was the Ark of the Testimony. It was like God was saying to his people, hey, don't forget how I delivered you. Don't forget how I healed you. Don't forget how I brought you out of bondage into the promised land. Don't forget of my provision. That was Aaron's rod that was continually budding. It was continually, blossoming, bringing forth fruit. Don't forget about the manna, how I provided for you. Don't forget about the Ten Commandments. Don't forget about my laws. Don't forget. So important that we remember what God has done in our lives and we declare them to each other. And now, in the New Covenant, we are the Ark. We are the Ark of the Testimony. We are the Ark of the Covenant. God's Spirit dwells within us. We are walking memories of how God has healed us and saved us and set us free. So it's important to keep the testimony. This word keep means to remember and declare. Remember and declare. When you remember God's supernatural interventions in impossible situations, you carry in your heart the seed of yet another miracle. Oh, the seed of yet another miracle. So important to remember. You know, when we don't keep the testimony, we forget what God has done. We don't talk about it. It dulls our spirituality. It dulls our walk with the Lord when we forget. It's like when we're going through difficult times or going through difficult circumstances or seasons in our lives, they're the times where we've got to remind ourselves, hang on, what did God do? How did God break out in our lives? But when we forget, it's like it dulls us. It's like, hang on, we've forgotten what God has done. We rob others of their encounters with God when we forget that these testimonies matter to God, these memorials. What God has done in your life, they matter. How many here have got bad memories? Yes. Wives, don't put your hands up. I've got a bad memory. My wife, Ali's always reminding me, hey, don't forget to do this, don't forget to do that. It's so important. So often we remember the bad and forget the good. But we need to do the other way around. We need to remember the good and forget the bad. Remember, that's what communion is all about. You know, when we have the Lord's Supper, we have communion and we gather around the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. That's a memory. That's a memorial. That's a testimony of what God has done, of what Jesus has done, about the price that he paid. You know, I keep all of my prophetic words. It's really important when you get a prophetic word, write it down. It's like, oh, someone gave me a word this morning. I'm going to go home and write that down. Or I'm going to record that on my phone. Keep all of your prophetic words because they're memories. It's really important to keep those things and remind yourself. I've got at home in my office, I've got pictures and I've got paintings of things that are significant things that happened in my life. I've got this shofar as well. in my office, and I remember it because I remember buying it, and God spoke to me about the trumpet and this voice that I have, because I was so scared about speaking in front of people. I was so nervous about talking, and you know, I bought this shofar, and this is a memory of God's given me a voice. It's like a reminding thing. These things are really, really important to remember. Memorials are a key element of keeping the testimony, because they work to protect us from our own vulnerability to forget the things that God says are most important. It's like an alarm clock. Alarm clock is a memory. It's like, oh, that's right, I've got to wake up. We need those alarm clocks in our lives, those little things that maybe it's journals or things that we keep and that we collect that remind us of God's goodness, that remind us what God has done in our lives. That's why we have scripture and we have Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. We have these amazing gospels and accounts of the goodness of God, the miracles of God, the miracles that Jesus did. We've got four detailed accounts of his life, of his miracles. The testimonies of God are the tools that equip us to walk in our purpose, to demonstrate what he really is like. So often the enemy is trying to attack our concept of God. Oh, well, God did that before, but you know, maybe he won't do it again. Maybe he's a little bit harsh. Maybe I'm deserving of what's happened to me. Maybe it's because of my own stupidity and mistakes that this is happening to me, or maybe I'm not good enough. You know, the enemy will reinforce those statements. But it's so important to remind yourself of the goodness of God. Testimonies, they reveal the nature of God, how he does things, his ways. Secondly, testimonies create an awareness of God. It creates an expectation. It renews hope again. It's like, hang on, God, you came through. You came through. I'm going to remind myself that you did come through.
That's right.
Psalm 78, verse 5 and 7, it says, he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know him, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It's so important that we tell others, that we tell our families, that we tell our friends, that we tell our children about what God has done in our lives. I love talking to my kids about what God has done in my life, even if they don't want to hear it. I'm going to tell them anyway. I'm going to tell them how good God has been, how good God is. You know, when we first planted our first church in Perth, and I remember, you know, we had small kids then, and we're like, is anybody even going to come? You know, and we didn't, you know, we were going to leave our church and our jobs and start this church. And I'm like, God, how are you going to, how is this going to happen? How are we going to be able to afford this? You know, I remember praying, God, would you bring people? Let there be tithes and offerings so I can be able to take a bit of a wage. And, you know, it was full on. I'm like, God, I really need you to come through. You know, we had a goal, a faith goal to start with 100 people. We started with exactly 100 people. I'm like, wow, amazing. And I remember we're about to start the church. And I had this dream, and in this dream, I was going around from shopping center to shopping center, trying to get things, trying to buy things, and I kept bumping into a friend of mine at these shopping centers. This is in my dream. And then I woke up and I'm like, what does that dream mean? Because I had this sense that this dream is from God. And so I went and saw this friend, him and his wife, and I said, look, I had this dream. What do you think it means? And he goes, this is what it means. The Lord says to you, he's assigned an angel to you to bring you everything you need. So stop trying to go around and find everything you need. I'm like, wow, okay, God. So, you know, I was so stressed and anxious about, you know, starting a church and I needed all the equipment and everything. But God said, hey, he's assigned a supernatural angel to bring me everything I need. And God provided everything. It was incredible. I'm incredible. But we're supposed to talk about this. Tell the good things that God has done and tell our kids and rehearse it. Declare it again, because in the seed of declaring it, in the seed of talking about it is God to do it. God wants to do it again in your life. He wants to provide. What happens when you forget? You lose hope. When you forget about God and His promises, your problems get bigger. Yeah, wow. You lose perspective. You start getting real anxious in your life. You start getting motivated by fear. But then you become really unstable. You become unfaithful. You look to other things. The trust in God erodes. You stop believing God. Wow. Then ungratefulness comes in because you've taken your eyes off what God has done. Remembering the testimony causes you to set your hope on God. Wow. Put it back on God. Hope is this. Hope is sustaining your expectation for God's miraculous invasions of power in every aspect of your life and situation. Man, do we need some hope? I want some hope. I want to be infused with hope to remember God's miraculous invasion of power in every single aspect of my life. Amen. So the Israelites, they had to remember the testimony. They had to declare them to their children. This was a vital part of the Hebrew culture. They had to remember and rehearse and tell the testimony to their kids, to their children. Yeah, wow. Very important. This word keep the testimony means to watch and preserve it. To watch and preserve it. You're to keep your eyes focused on what God has done. Not on what he hasn't or doesn't seem to be doing. They will watch and preserve the testimonies and declare them over and over and over to each other in their conversations. It's so important. You know, in this culture, in this day and age, we've got so much distraction on all the negative stuff that's happening in our world. You know, it's like you turn on the TV, you turn on the news, you hear it everywhere. Everybody's talking about all the negative things that are happening. Hang on, we've got to shift our awareness, shift our awareness on what God is doing, on his miraculous, on his provision. You know, this is called renewing your mind. I mean, I'm not talking about putting your head in the sand and just, ignoring issues and problems. No, bring them to Jesus. Bring them to God. Bring this marriage issue to God. Bring this financial issue to God. Bring this, you know, this issue in your family to God and say, God, you've worked before. You'll do it again. Amen. Right. Whatever you give your attention to will grow stronger. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, think about these things. Think about those things. Come on, renew your mind. Lord, you're going to break through in my world. You're going to break through in my family. You're going to break through in my finances. Lord, you're going to bring me everything I need. Everything I need. Come on. So building a lifestyle of remembering the testimony is the first dimension of keeping the testimony. The second dimension is to build a lifestyle of declaring it. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who know it, those who love it, will eat of its fruit. In other words, watch what you say. Watch what you declare. You know, a number of years ago, one of my daughters was struggling with quite a bit of worry, and she was always anxious about things, and she'll always go to, well, what if? Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? And she'd be really almost crippled by anxiety, and we had to talk to her, say, hey, honey, we got to remind you, don't focus on that. Don't focus on the what ifs, on the anxiety. Don't focus on the negative. But come on, start speaking the positive. Come on, start believing what God has. God's got you. He's gonna protect you. His word says that he'll protect you. We started talking to her about the power of her words. So important, the power of our words, what we say, what we declare. The testimonies of the Lord must be declared. There's a clear connection with declaration and with power, yeah. With declaring it and with the power of God. Nothing happened in the Bible first without something being declared. Yeah, wow. When God created the universe, he declared it. Let there be light. Yeah. He declared it. That's why prophecy is so important, because you're declaring God's intention over someone's life. That's why in Deuteronomy here it says the testimony is supposed to be declared, supposed to be in our conversations. Mark chapter 5 tells this story of this woman who had the issue of blood. So we all know that story. If you don't, Mark chapter 5 is, there's this woman, she had an issue of blood. She'd had it for years and years and years, and there's all these people all around Jesus, and he was teaching. Everybody was pressing on him and you know, jostling to hear him. And then she reached out, touched the hem of his garment, and power flowed out of Jesus, went straight to where the problem was, healed it instantly. Totally healed instantly because of your faith. And Jesus looked around and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were like, "Jesus, there's people everywhere. People are touching you everywhere." And he goes, no, someone touched me because I felt power go out of me. And the woman said, "Hey, it was me." And he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." But here's the amazing thing. Can you imagine? Because before that, in all the previous chapters, no one had touched Jesus and received healing. She was the first person that just touched Jesus and received healing. Then can you imagine the talk around the town? It's like, "Hey, if you can just touch him, you're going to receive healing." She started sharing that and telling everybody, started talking about, "Hey, all you need to do is touch Jesus and you'll receive your healing. That's all you need to do." And so we see then in Mark chapter 6, this happened in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 6, it says people were coming to him and just touching him and they were receiving healing. All they were, everybody was just touching him and they were receiving his healing. All you need to do now is just touch Jesus and you'll be healed. Isn't that amazing? The power of testimony, the power of breakthrough. She did it first. She started testifying about it, talking to people. And then straight after that, everybody was getting healed. Isn't that amazing?
Brilliant. So good.
I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is restoring the revelation of the power of testimony. He wants to release more miracles, more healings, more power to his people. It's within reach. It's within reach. You know, God is taking us on a journey from faith to faith, from glory to glory. That's why it's so important to tell and to speak and to declare the testimonies of Jesus, what God has done in your life. Let's look at Psalm 78. This is amazing scripture, Psalm 78. It says in let's go from verse 2. It says, "I'll open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings from old, things that we have known and heard that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." See, the writer of this was a song, actually. This was a song sung by Asaph. And he's saying, "Hey, I'm going to tell the children, I'm going to tell the next generation the amazing deeds, the amazing mighty acts of God and the wonders." Isn't that awesome? And then it goes on in verse 6, it says that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn should arise and tell them to their children, so they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. So important. We got to remind ourselves, what has God done? Come on, why don't you just close your eyes right now? Just close your eyes and just start remembering, what has God done in my life in the past? What has God done? How has he saved me? Remember where you've come from. Remember how he has set you free. Remember how he broke through in your situation. Come on, I want you to remember that. Remind yourself. Because as you do, hope starts to come again. Faith starts to arise again. And then the Lord wants you to start speaking that out. Start telling someone else. Tell someone what God has done. And as you tell them, they're going to get encouraged. God's going to do it again and again and again in their lives. He's going to heal them. He's going to provide for them. He's going to bring a miracle for them. He's going to set their hearts on fire again. He's going to restore their marriage again. He's going to heal their family again. Wow. So good. You can open your eyes now. So when we share our testimony, we are following the footsteps of the early disciples and the apostles who proclaimed boldly the truth of Jesus' resurrection and the power of the gospel. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says, "With great power, the disciples, the apostles, continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was powerfully at work in them." Man, we've got to testify of God's goodness. We've got to testify of God's grace. Let me share you this one quick story. A number of weeks ago, Ali and I, we were in actually different states. She was up on the Gold Coast for a conference. I was down in Hobart at our Hobart location. And can I be honest with you? Yes, I can. Okay. I was feeling a bit low. I was feeling a bit down. And I'm like, God, why am I feeling this down? And I'm like, I mean, we had moved our whole family 12 months ago, or about 18 months ago to Melbourne. And I was feeling a little bit low about, okay, God, what have you got for us? And I'm like, God, I need a sign. I need you to speak to me. And I checked into the hotel that I was staying at Hobart, and it was on level 13 and room 10, so it was 1310. And I went, oh, interesting, 13. And then I was texting Ali and I said, oh, check out my room number. It's room 13. 13 for us, and I'll explain to you, is one of our, it's like our godly number. It's like, it's the way that God speaks to us. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, 13. And she goes, no way. I've just checked into my hotel on the Gold Coast. And guess what room number it was? Level 10, number 13. I'm like, wow, okay, God, you're up to something here. Let me tell you about the number 13 for us. This is a testimony for God's grace and God's kindness on us. My son was born on Friday the 13th. Ali's dad was born on March the 13th. We planted our church, on March the 13th. We planted the church that we first planted in 2013. Wow. We were looking around for a school to have our church in, you know, to meet in, and we found this school that was exactly 13 years old. Wow. We go to a restaurant. The waiter gives us the number 13. I'm like, God, you're in this. You're speaking to us. I did this whole study on the number 13. This is the language of the Holy Spirit. You know, he can speak to us in dreams, in numbers, coincidences, little things. I did this study on the number 13. A lot of people think the number 13 is unlucky. No, for us, it's lucky. It's the number of God. You know, Abraham, when God promised Abraham a son, it was 13 years later, God gave him Isaac. And the number 13, all through Scripture, you see it's the number of God. It's an amazing number. So it was just like God saying to me those few weeks ago, I see you, Steve. I know what I'm doing in your life. And it was just such an encouragement to know, hey, I'm in the center of God's will. I know God's with me. I know God's for me. And it just brought such encouragement to you. And I'm telling this to you now to release that testimony over your life. Because God wants to speak to you clearly, maybe through dreams or numbers. He wants to confirm His word and His promise over your life. He wants to confirm what He's doing in you and through you right now. Amen? Amen. Amen. David said this in Psalm 119, verse 99. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For your testimonies are my meditation. If you want to be wise, if you want to have more understanding about God, remember God's testimonies. Remember the testimonies. Remember what God has done. Ooh. Like I said, the testimony, the word testimony, one of the meanings of that word in the Hebrew means to do again. Do again. God is in the business of doing it again and again and again and again, not just for you or me, but for others as well, for everyone. Amen. There is power available to us today when we remember and we declare the testimony of God. I want to close with this. Hayden, why don't you get up? Help me. I want to close with you with this, and this is the testimony of how I got born again. Of how God came and changed my heart and my life. I left home when I was 16. And I wanted to experience true freedom. True freedom. So I started taking drugs. True freedom. But this led me down a dark path of absolute confusion and despair, hopelessness, loneliness. And I was addicted, started on marijuana, and I started getting onto LSD and meth and went down this deep, dark hole of, I thought, was true freedom and pleasure, but it just ended up me being totally addicted to drugs, totally bound. I was at the lowest point. I was living in the laundry of a house, like a crack house in Victoria Park in Perth. I was 18 years old and I was so messed up in my soul. I had no hope. Couldn't even have a conversation with people anymore because I was so messed up on drugs. I was stealing cars and doing break-ins to fund this drug habit. I mean, even as I'm sharing this, I can't believe this. I'm like, wow. And I had an encounter with the love of God. I felt these words, actually your mum. She came to me. And she said, Steve, what's wrong? And I was in the laundry of this house. My bed was there. And I felt these words rise up and I thought, something's happening. And I went, Jesus, I'm sorry. And I burst into tears and I just kept saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry. It was like the conviction of sin and all the stuff I'd done had gripped my heart. And I kept saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. And I had an encounter with the love of God. I started to realize that God met me in that laundry of that house and He revealed His love for me and His forgiveness for me. My life was radically changed. I had a massive turnaround, went through cold turkey with I had a sister and brother-in-law who took me through cold turkey, and they bought me a Bible. And I carried this Bible around everywhere. I could hardly talk to people because I was going through cold turkey and I'd just read the Bible. Certain times they'd take me to the shops, I would just carry this Bible around. And I'd read the Bible and the Bible started to come alive to me. How Jesus loved me and He forgave me of all my sin. And I was born again. I remember going back to my family and they're saying, looking at me and saying, Steve, you look totally different. And I said, I'm totally different. They said, your facial features have changed. I said, I've got the joy of the Lord and that joy has never left me and it's better than any drug that I've ever had. It's the joy of the Lord. It's my strength. And it's pure, it's clean, it's fresh, it's liberating. That's what God did in my life. I started my journey of walking with Him. Have I had ups and downs? Yes. Have I had hard times? Yes. But I always remember the testimony. I always remember what Jesus did in my life. And I know He's done it for every single person here. And he wants to do it again and again and again for every single person here. Because that's the love of God. Why don't you stand? That's the love of God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.